Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode and spending some time with me today. Today, I want to spontaneously record this one. This is an idea I thought of probably 5 minutes ago, and I'm running with it. The intention of this episode and what I want to talk about in this episode is to challenge my perfectionism and just talk about things that aren't perfect, but it's completely okay that they're not perfect. The title of this podcast is called the Perfectly Imperfect Podcast for a reason, because perfectionism is something that I have come to realize is a big part of me and a big part of who I am and has been growing and developing and strengthening over the years of me growing up without me really realizing. And so now I'm aware of it after working on a lot of self-growth, self-awareness, therapy. I'm aware that I struggle with perfectionism and I have a lot of perfectionism on myself and on other things in the world. And there's a little box, it feels like, in my head sometimes. And if something doesn't fit neatly in that box, it just feels so wrong and it puts me on edge. And I feel like that's just a very broad explanation of what perfectionism feels like. There's so many different layers and levels, and everyone who struggles with perfectionism has a different definition for them of how it shows up in their life and how it affects them in their daily life. But for me, it's just kind of like this uncomfortable feeling. Something feels off and I don't know what it is. I either feel really down about myself, or I feel really uncomfortable in my body or in the environment around me. I don't feel proud of myself. I don't feel confident in myself. And kind of that image of the square box comes up at times, and that something just feels off and I don't know why and I don't know how to fix it, but it just doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite feel right. And I don't do well in those situations. There are some people who maybe don't struggle with perfectionism, that if something doesn't go as planned or something doesn't turn out the way they imagined, they are very flexible and very easy, and it doesn't cause them any stress or anxiety to manage and maneuver that new situation that they weren't necessarily prepared for. But I am not one of those people. I would classify myself as pretty type A. I don't know. In a way, I'm very go with the flow and flexible about certain things, but then there are other certain things that I'm just not flexible with whatsoever. And if it doesn't go how I planned, I don't know how to act, which I'm working on. And I feel like as an adult in this world, you're expected to be able to manage and be calm throughout those situations of change. But equally at the same time, you're expected to perform highly and achieve a lot and look good and just be on your A game all the time, which those two just contradict one another. So that's a small little explanation as to why growing up is so difficult and being in your early 20s is so difficult, because you're realizing that both these societal pressures are put on you at the same time and pulling you in opposite directions. So that's just something I've become aware of and something I'm working to accept and just working through, learning to grow through and reminding myself that I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to fit these standards. I don't have to fit everything inside of that square box all the time. It's okay if things don't fit. It's okay if they're not supposed to go in that box. It's okay if they're supposed to be in a different box that's a different shape. That is okay. We are humans. We have emotions. We have feelings. We're not supposed to be perfect, yet I know how real and how strong that pressure feels, put on by ourselves and by the outside world to be perfect. So with that being said, I wanted to talk about a list of things that I came up with that are not perfect, but it's okay that they're not perfect. They are perfectly imperfect. So here's my list. I wrote it down in my journal. And honestly, the more I was writing, the more I was realizing like kind of everything in life isn't perfect a lot of the time, and that's okay. And another point with this episode, you might realize I am not using my normal mic. I don't know if it sounds any different, but if you're watching this podcast episode on YouTube, usually I have a big setup mic that kind of comes in on this arm. And, you know, while I love using those, I really didn't feel like setting that up today. So I'm challenging that perfectionism. That perfectionism in me was telling me, no, all your other videos look that way. All your podcasts sound the other way with the other mic. You have to use it. You have to use it. But no, I'm challenging my perfectionism with this podcast episode today and using my little tiny mic, and I'm holding it up to my mouth, and hopefully it sounds just as good. I know it sounds just as good. And even if it doesn't, even if it's a little imperfect, that is okay. So to start off on this list with number one, it's okay if your body isn't perfect. That is a big one. And I've talked about it a lot on my podcasts, on my platforms, on my YouTube. Your body is your body. It's not supposed to be perfect. Society will paint the picture of a perfect body, and it will tell you what to do, how to manipulate, and how to change your body for it to be quote unquote perfect. But there is no perfect body. Your body, a body that's healthy, a body that's happy, a body that enables you to do the things you want to do in your life, is a perfect body for you. So that is kind of overarching number one thing on my list, is that your body isn't perfect. There's always going to be little things we can nitpick, little ways we can compare our bodies to others, but that is just so not helpful and doesn't help in body confidence or body acceptance or self-love at all from personal experience. So leaning into the idea that your body isn't perfect and that it's not meant to be perfect has been bringing me a lot of comfort and safety when I think about being in my body. Number two, also a topic I talk about a lot, is your food. Your food isn't perfect, and that's okay. Sometimes the snacks and the meals I have are the weirdest combinations of things. It does not look aesthetic, it doesn't look cute, and it doesn't look perfect. Maybe it doesn't even taste perfect, too. Maybe it's purely just something to give my body some energy, some protein, some nutrients to give my body to get me through the next section of the day until my next meal. And that is 110% okay. Food does not have to look perfect. Yes, I will attest, I love a moment of an aesthetically pleasing plate or bowl, and I do personally enjoy plating and putting together my meals in a way that makes me happy, and maybe that's in an aesthetic way or thinking about the colors or the placement. But other times, if I'm in a rush or I just don't really feel like putting it together, or I just need something quick and easy, it's not going to look perfect, and that's okay. I feel like for me, throughout my relationship with food and definitely throughout my recovery, I had this idea of like a perfect plate and the perfect food. And as I was trying to develop the skills to intuitively eat and listen to my body, I still had those kind of subconscious rules in my head about what the perfect food is or what the perfect meal is in each moment, depending on how I feel. And if it didn't look a certain way or didn't taste a certain way, then that would kind of put off alarm bells in my brain, and the eating disorder would jump on that and tell me, oh, something's wrong, don't eat it. And that would just cause me anxiety and stress and at times panic attacks. So very uncomfortable, but all part of my recovery has been learning to reiterate and reframe those thoughts and tell myself that it doesn't have to be perfect. Food is food. It's just fuel. It's just energy for your body. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Sometimes it doesn't matter what it tastes like. If it's not perfect, that's okay. If you need food and this is your only option and it's not perfect, that's okay. It's still well worth eating. Or if you have the option of choosing something else, or you can make it more perfect in your brain, I think that's completely okay. But just understand where that idea of perfectionism around your food is coming from. If you're telling yourself, oh, I can't eat this unless it has this, that feels like a more black and white mindset. So maybe try to challenge that. Maybe don't add that thing, or don't take away that thing from a certain meal, or don't request, you know, to remove a certain ingredient. If it's coming from a place of fear or anxiety, maybe challenge that and challenge that perfectionist voice in your head around food, so that you can remind yourself and reiterate to yourself that if food isn't perfect, that's okay. Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The next thing is your home. Your home, your apartment, the place that you live isn't always going to be perfect. There's always going to be weird things that you don't like. If you're renting an apartment, you know, you didn't decide to build it, you didn't decorate it. Sometimes it's the only option at a certain time that works, that's in your budget. There's going to be things that you don't like about it. It's not going to be perfect all the time. And that's okay. Just be grateful that you have a place to stay, you have a roof over your head. And I know that's so like, just be grateful, da da da. But I feel like that's how I ground myself in certain moments, that I'm getting caught up in the nitty gritty details of my apartment, for example, or where I live, or maybe if I'm living with roommates, how my roommates are living. Maybe it's an old building or an old house that you live in and things are a little slanted and not perfectly perpendicular, or you don't have a dishwasher, or you don't have a microwave, or you don't have laundry in unit. All of which I don't have. Actually, I do have a microwave, but I had to buy it myself. And that's okay that those things are not perfect. For me, perfectionism feels a lot like I was talking about earlier. Something's missing. And I think I so quickly associate it to the things in my life or the things about me. For example, my body, my food, my living situation, my exercise routine. And just realizing that oftentimes there's absolutely nothing wrong with those things, but it's just that part of my brain that is fixating on finding things wrong and finding the negativity, unfortunately, that is picking out all those tiny little details that you don't love, but really it's okay that they're there. It's okay that it's imperfect, and it will all be okay. Next thing is your skin, and this kind of goes hand in hand with your body, but your skin is not always going to be perfect, and that is 100% normal and okay. I have acne, for example. I've had acne for over 10 years. There are things that I don't love, and I don't really enjoy that they're there. I don't necessarily love when I see them in the mirror on myself, but they're part of me, and they're part of what make me unique. They're part of what make my face and my body unique, and they're part of what makes Jenny. So expecting your skin to look like this flawless, clean canvas with no imperfections and no scars or acne or freckles or anything like that is just so unrealistic. And honestly, I think if we lived in a world where everyone's skin was that perfect and flawless and we all had the same texture and the same looking skin, the world would be so boring. I think people with freckles are absolutely beautiful. And there was a phase where I really wanted freckles and I wanted that kind of beautifully splotted, like textured look on my face. And I know some people who have those freckles and they absolutely hate them. It's always that kind of grass is greener type of thing on the other side. But just learning to appreciate and understand and accept what you have and the unique qualities that you have in your body, I feel like is so key to building self-acceptance, self-love, self-confidence, because those qualities of you and your skin and your body are what make you you. And you are unique and you bring unique qualities and unique energy to the world. And so you need to realize that. And the only way for you to really realize that is if you decide to realize that. The world is not going to hand you on a platter, here's your uniqueness, here's how great you are. You have to believe it in yourself. Next thing is your clothes. Your clothes are often far from perfect. And I'm speaking from personal experience. A lot of my clothes maybe don't fit properly, or I don't like them as much, or they're not my style anymore, or maybe a sock has a hole in it, or a shirt has like a sweat stain on it. Like, I don't love that, and it's not perfect, but it's okay. It's not the end of the world. If I can do something about it, if I want to go out and purchase something new, I can. But also, it's okay to wear imperfect clothes sometimes. Having clothes that are a little imperfect gives you room to be a little creative. And this is something I want to get better at. I feel like I still automatically, when clothes don't feel wearable or nice in my opinion, and I don't want to wear them, I tend to either donate or sell or just get rid of them. But really, there's so much opportunity to be creative. You can cut a pair of jeans that you don't like anymore into shorts. You can maybe use part of a shirt as like a scarf or a head wrap. I don't know. I'm really not a fashion designer or very knowledgeable on how you can use clothes, but there's Google for a reason. And I did used to sew a little bit. I don't have a sewing machine anymore, but hand sewing is very simple to do, very cheap. You can do that, get creative. I don't really know where I'm going with this. I don't have a lot of advice on like fashion and upcycling your clothes, but that is something you can do with clothes that maybe you feel are imperfect. But also remember that it's okay that they're imperfect. You don't need to go out and buy a new wardrobe every single season. You don't need to spend so much money on the most expensive, newest, trendiest item. What you have is wonderful, and the clothes you wear are wonderful, and your personal style comes from you embracing your unique self and dressing in a way that makes you feel good. And I feel like when people dress that way, they walk with more confidence, they dress with more confidence, and that confidence is what people feel. You could be in the most expensive designer, trendiest outfit ever, but if you don't have that self-confidence and that level of, yeah, I'm wearing this and I'm owning it, I feel like I really wouldn't look twice at that person in that outfit. But if they're radiating that confident energy, you feel that and you're like, wow, they look great. They feel great. I feel great because I'm around them. So that's my two cents on that. The next thing that is oftentimes imperfect, but it's okay, are your romantic relationships and your partners. I do say this lightly. If you are in not an ideal situation, your best bet is to get out of it, unless it's a situation that mutually both sides want to work on it and you want to work through the issues you're having, but it does have to be mutual. So I kind of say this one lightly, but just know that your partner is not going to check every single one of your boxes all the time. I definitely do have that kind of list of perfections in a partner, but I've learned that navigating friendships and romantic relationships with that very rigid list does not open me up to finding real, true bonds with people. It's okay to have expectations, and you should have expectations, and you should have boundaries for yourself and things that you are not willing to step below of. I think that's very healthy and great for any human being to just have that confidence in themselves saying, I will not take this step into this area. No relationship, no partner, no friendship will make me do that. But at the same time, I think it's equally important to have flexibility with and an open mind with people and potential friendships, potential partners. So they're not always going to look perfect. And after being in a relationship now for almost 4.5 years, there have been so many imperfect moments with me and my boyfriend. There have been miscommunications, uncomfortable situations, awkward silences, awkward situations, fights, emotional times. And, you know, while I would rather those things didn't happen, those imperfect moments lead to really important conversations and really important moments where we talk through how did that happen? Why did that happen? How can we better support each other so that doesn't happen more in the future? Those kinds of conversations are so important to be able to have and learn to embrace and encourage. And truly, I think that level of communication and being able to have those conversations is what makes a relationship work, whether it be romantic or friendship as well. The next thing is your journal or potentially school notebook or study notebook or anything of that sorts. Personally, this might be kind of niche, but I always was so envious of those girls or guys in the class who had perfect handwriting, like a font. Like every single E was written the same way. Every single A was the same size, same height. Every single M had the same width between the two loops of the M. Like I just could not understand how people wrote like that with their actual hand. I don't know. There was a phase I beat myself up and I tried to change my handwriting so many times. I tried to add little flares. I tried to write so perfectly that I made it look as much like a font as I could. And then I would look at my friend's notebook and it would look like a scribbled mess compared to hers. And that was something I really beat myself up over. But I'm now realizing that was silly of me to beat myself up over. It's okay that I did. I'm learning from that now. And that it's okay if your journal or your notebook doesn't look clean, if it looks messy, if you scribble out things, if you don't have an eraser, that's okay. It's not supposed to be a piece of art. And even then, it can still be a piece of art, even if you feel it's messy, even if there are scribbles. Someone might love that. Someone might love the raw energy and the imperfections in your journal, where someone else might love the cleanness and the clear cut of the font-like writing in the journal. So don't beat yourself up if your journal or you don't feel like your handwriting's perfect, or maybe someone next to you is taking super organized school notes with highlighting sections and writing different columns, and yours is just kind of a word dump of numbers and letters and words on a page. If you can study from that and you can get through school with that and it works for you, then it's great. It's maybe not perfect to the person next to you, has super clear-cut font-like handwriting, but if it does its job, then it's perfect to you. It's perfectly imperfect. The next thing is your teeth. Coming from a girl who used to have the most messed up teeth, all my teeth were on top of each other. My mouth was too small for the amount of teeth and the size of my teeth for so long. I had my two front teeth crossing in front of one another. My bottom teeth were just literally like 180 twisted sideways, crisscross. Then when my wisdom teeth started coming in, it started pushing everything forward. And now I do have still crooked teeth, but that's after a palate expander and 3 years of braces. So I hope this just goes to tell you that it's okay if your teeth are not perfect. Sadly, yes, the world or America has turned it into something to make money off of, and orthodontry is very, very expensive. And I feel so fortunate that I've been able to straighten my teeth. But there are always going to be little things and little imperfections here and there, even if you do go through years and years of orthodontistry and palate expanders and elastic bands and braces and all that kind of stuff. They may still not be perfect. And mine definitely still aren't perfect, but they look natural and they're mine. And so that's what makes them perfect to me. I could pinpoint little things about my teeth still that even after comparing how my teeth were before years ago, they're so much more quote unquote perfect, and they are much more in line and cleaner and overall healthier. But I still find things I don't think are perfect about them, but I'm just reminding myself that that's okay. That's a quality of my face. It's a quality of me that's unique, and that's okay. Next thing is your makeup. I know there are so many talented makeup artists out there that it may feel daunting if you're wanting to start makeup or wanting to try a new eyeshadow or foundation or eyeliner trick or something. Not speaking from personal experience, I really haven't found a love or interest in learning how to do makeup very well, but I do love a natural glowy makeup, and I do still catch myself comparing my makeup to others. And I'm like, well, how do they wear the same products as me and look that way? And that is just so not helpful. Again, that comparison is the thief of joy. I know it's cliche. I know you've heard it a million times, but it's so, so true. So your makeup is gonna look different because your face is different than everyone around you. After growing up in the dance competition world where we just pack on, you know, show makeup, foundation, concealer, lots of blush, red lipstick, fake eyelashes, all the eyeshadow, all the things, I feel like I've gone like radically the other way and I just like never wear makeup at all anymore. Also for the fact that my skin is very acne prone and having that level of product and makeup on my face just never left my skin feeling good. So I generally default to no makeup. And it's also been really helping me in my self-acceptance and more specifically my acne and skin acceptance journey and just embracing like, yeah, I'm going to go out in public today and you can see these red spots on my face and that's okay. It's not perfect, but that's okay. So equally, your makeup not being perfect is okay. If you want to wear lots of foundation, lots of bronzer, you know, have it be super obvious that you're wearing makeup and you like that and you feel confident in that, then go for it. But if you're the opposite and you want to wear like a no makeup makeup look and look super natural and not have a lot of makeup, but just use it to highlight some of your favorite features of your face, go ahead. If you never want to wear makeup, that's great too. This is just a reminder that makeup looks very different on faces because every single face is different unless maybe you're a twin, but even then, the faces are not going to be identical in every single way. And going off of that one, your hair isn't always perfect, and that's okay. I feel like I've been needing a haircut for months, and I just haven't got around to it. I feel like I have split ends, and it's dry at certain times. It gets really oily at certain times, and I don't love that, and it feels imperfect at times, but that is okay. If you have gray hair starting and you're only in your early 20s or your teens, that's okay. I'm not sure why those things happen. Maybe you're really stressed. Maybe it's genetics. It's okay regardless. Maybe you've dyed your hair a lot and it's feeling really dead and you don't love the texture of it. There's things you can do, but it's also okay that it's a little bit imperfect. Overall, apart from the hair, if anyone in your life is kind of audibly judging you for your appearance and the way you are and pointing out your imperfections, that is just a sign of their insecurities. Someone who actively takes energy out of their day to critique and bring to the surface your imperfections and make you feel bad about it shows that they are very, very broken or insecure inside, and that they too are very insecure about their own imperfections, so they feel they need to compensate by making you feel insecure about yours. If people are making you feel bad or feel lesser than or inferior because of these imperfections, just remind yourself that they're not imperfections. They're parts that make you unique. They're part of you. And if anyone has a problem with it, you don't need to associate yourself with them. And it just shows that they are struggling and they are insecure in themselves, which has nothing to do with you. I know that's easier said than done. In the moment, it's very difficult to think about that, but hopefully that just serves as a quick little reminder. Next one is your ability to manage your time. I know this one is maybe like an iffy one because if you're working a job or you have a boss or you have certain deadlines you have to meet, in some ways, not being able to manage your time perfectly can have some negative consequences. So I guess take this one as well with a grain of salt, take it lightly. But overall, I've been trying to work on my self-acceptance and understand that sometimes I do be procrastinating a lot. And sometimes there are so many things that are overwhelming me that I feel frozen and I don't do any of it. And I don't manage my time very well. If you're met with external deadlines or things that will jeopardize your job or situation or something like that, sure, sometimes you may just have to pull yourself up, get yourself back together for the moment, get the thing done, meet the deadline, and then let yourself rest, let yourself be. But overall, I think just learning to accept that I can't be go, go, go all the time. I can't have a packed schedule all the time. And as much as my brain might want that perfectly curated schedule and I get everything done and I check off everything on my to-do list, sometimes that just isn't possible. Maybe my energy is different that day than the day before, and I'm not able to do things as quickly as I did the day before. Or maybe my mom called spontaneously and I really wanted to talk to her and catch up with her, and I didn't manage my time very well, and so I have to now work on a project later on in the day that I planned to do earlier in the day. That's okay. That's a part of life. And I think equally as much as it is important to work on your time management skills, it's also equally important to recognize when to have those spontaneous moments in life that make life so special. If someone calls you that you haven't caught up with in months, take that time to call them. Or if you want to work on your time management, rather, you can ask to schedule a call with them later, when it works in your schedule. So there are so many ways to kind of work around this, but I think part of my personal self-acceptance journey is accepting that I'm not always going to be perfectly on time and I'm not always going to get everything done on my to-do list, and that's okay. When it really matters, I will work extra hard to make it work and make sure that I get it done. But overall in life, those personal pressures and those personal timelines that are put there by my perfectionist brain, it's okay if I don't meet those all the time. Next thing is controlling your nerves or your stress or your anxiety. As someone with anxiety and perfectionism both, I feel like I struggle in moments where I feel anxious and I don't know how to not be anxious. That perfectionism part of my brain is like, oh, just don't be anxious and everything will be better. But then the anxious part of my brain is like, no, we have to be anxious. We have to be worried about this. Something's wrong and I'm in fight or flight mode. And the two just battle each other and they never hear each other out. These types of moments are very, very difficult. If you are also someone who've experienced something like that, I am so sorry, but I feel you and you're not alone. But in these moments where I'm struggling to control my anxiety or lessen my stress or reduce my high emotions about something, leaning into it with more of an acceptance or a curiosity rather than that perfectionist judgment voice has really, really been helping me. And just learning to sit in those feelings of discomfort, let both sides, the perfectionism and the anxiety, yell at each other. And just kind of let it pass. In this sense, just feel your feelings. I know that's uncomfortable, and I know that may not always feel like an accessible thing to do, but from personal experience, learning to feel your feelings and kind of let yourself get through an anxious moment rather than fighting it and trying to figure out how to get rid of it has served a lot more successful. Because letting yourself sit through kind of allows your body to understand, like, okay, I'm feeling this way. But then if you're not combating it with any other stressors, like that perfectionist or like that judgment voice, eventually your body will realize, oh, actually nothing's wrong, I'm safe, and your nervous system will calm down again, and that anxiety will slowly kind of dissipate. Not saying it happens like this all the time. Sometimes it goes the opposite way, and your body just can't understand that it's safe. It can't regulate itself and it turns into an anxiety or a panic attack, which of course is so, so uncomfortable. But I still will always reiterate that feeling your feelings and looking at your feelings and your emotions and your anxieties with a sense of curiosity rather than judgment is so beyond helpful and has been so beyond helpful for me. The next thing are your posts on social media. To be honest, my original idea for this podcast was going to be an episode fully on my strife with social media and just how I'm feeling so conflicted with it right now and not feeling super confident and proud of my content and not feeling like I know what to post or how to post and my troubles with my analytics and how engagement's going down and just my frustrations with it all. But then I was like, I don't really want to vent and ramble about that right now. It's just going to make me feel more negative. And it's just something that is valid, and I'm validating for myself that it's something I'm feeling and something I'm going through. And I did post about it today in my little carousel that I posted about like things that I'm struggling with in my 20s. But I don't really want to dedicate a whole episode to it. So instead, I'm incorporating it in this episode and telling myself that it's not perfect, and that is completely okay. And I hope this serves as a reminder to you if you're someone active on social media, or maybe you're trying to become a content creator, influencer, anything like that. Your posts are not always going to be perfect. Just like your energy and your creativity is not the same every day, your posts aren't going to be the same every day. And I feel like Instagram, TikTok, these platforms push out and preach to you and tell you that if you want to be a creator here, you have to be consistent every single day. You have to post quality. You have to have engagement. You have to have engaging captions, hashtag. Like, there's so many different things to think about. And we're human, like I've said. We're imperfect. So we can't hit all those boxes every single day, nor should we expect ourselves to hit all those boxes every single day. I guess to this point that your posts on social media are not going to be perfect all the time, and that is completely okay. If there's a day you don't want to post, that's okay. Don't post. Personally, I have just been reverting to not posting rather than posting something that I don't really feel great about or 100% about. That's been helping me a lot. If reels are not feeling good one week, if I don't really want to be on camera or talk to the camera, finding fun ways to put photos together that I enjoy and just finding ways to make it enjoyable has been really what I'm focusing on. But I feel like that is going against everything that I'm told to do and everything that I'm taught how to grow. I'm not doing. So that perfectionist in me is like, well, you're not doing these right things. You're not doing it perfectly. But so what? So what? If my posts aren't performing as well as they used to, that's okay. If my content is a little different than it used to be, that's okay. It's imperfect. I'm imperfect, and that's okay. And so my last point to close up this episode is you. You are imperfect. You're not perfect all the time, and that is okay. And you don't need to expect yourself to be perfect all the time. That voice in your head telling you to look a certain way, dress a certain way, be a certain way, doesn't always have your best interest. It's your gut feeling. It's your intuition. It's that really deep down voice that sometimes is quiet and it whispers because it's so drowned out by this louder, more perfectionist voice. But if you're able to dig down deep inside yourself and listen to that gut feeling and listen to that intuition and follow that voice instead, I don't know for sure because I'm still working on it myself, but I have a very good feeling that that is where true confidence, true self-acceptance, true self-compassion comes from. And I'm very much on the journey of listening to that little whispering voice inside of me that is my gut, that is my intuition, rather than the loud perfectionist voice that is overbearing, honestly, a lot of the time. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope these help you feel a little less alone if you are someone who feels like they're imperfect in a lot of ways and that there are a lot of imperfect things in their life. And just know that those things are okay. It's okay that it's not perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect all the time. And that perfectionist voice is wrong. It doesn't have to be perfect. Things don't have to fit in that square box all the time. And it's okay if things are misshaped and oddly shaped and don't feel right all the time. It's in those moments of discomfort where growth happens the most. Life wouldn't be life without those moments of discomfort, without those bumps in the road, without those circular shaped things trying to fit in a square shaped hole. Things just don't work sometimes, and they don't feel perfect, and they feel off, and it just doesn't feel right, and that's okay. It's learning to work through those moments and learning to have compassion and patience with yourself and confidence in yourself that you will get through those moments, even though they feel uncomfortable, even though they don't feel perfect, and that it will all be okay in the end. With that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this episode and you feel like someone could benefit from having this little reminder that it's okay to be imperfect, then feel free to send this episode over to them. If you like this episode, feel free to leave a review or a star rating if you feel called. And you can follow the podcast Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod. I do have a podcast TikTok as well. And you can follow me on Instagram at jenny.mini. And I have a TikTok as well. And if you're listening to this episode, feel free to go watch it on YouTube and vice versa. If you're watching on YouTube, you can listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And with that, I will let you go. Remember that you're perfectly imperfect and you're wonderful and beautiful just the way you are. And I'll catch you in the next episode.